Today our reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. I know you have the scripture reading in front of you, but before we read it together, I want to lift up all of us in prayer and ask that God would truly speak to us, each and every one. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for your word, thank you for your church, thank you for your family, a family of faith. Thank you that we can be gathered here together in our sanctuary, which is so beautiful, for this privilege to be in your presence, but also to be gathered online in many, very many different places, and yet we are bound together through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I pray that as we read your word, that your word will become alive, that your word will speak to us, that your message will bless each and every one of us today. God, we come with anticipation, willing to hear your voice in our lives this morning. So please bless us now. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, and the heading here says, One in Christ. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. So, you know, people are starting to travel again, in case you haven't noticed. And when you travel abroad, the most important thing you need to have in your possession is, of course, a valid passport, right? Now, depending on where you want to travel to, your U.S. passport is pretty powerful. It'll get you into most places without needing a visa. As a matter of fact, it will get you into 158 different countries. If you happen to be a citizen of Afghanistan, that number would be 25. An Afghanistan passport, in terms of visa power in any case, is the least powerful passport in the world. But your U.S. passport, as strong as it is, will not get you into every country without a visa. Let's say you want to go see the Great Wall of China and the Forbidden City. You get tickets for Beijing. Oops, You need a visa to travel to China. It reminds me of the story about a businessman, you know, who called the State Department. And he had a question about what documents he needed in order to fly to China. And after a lengthy discussion about passports and such, the person reminded him he needed a visa. But the businessman said, "Oh, no, I don't. I've been to China many times and I've never had to have one of those." So the person told him, "Sir, I double checked and you do need a visa." And the businessman said, "Look, I've been to China 4 times and every time they've always accepted my American Express." So, a little early for that one, I guess, but... Or maybe you want to travel to Russia for whatever reason. Well, you need a visa to enter Russia. No matter that every country in South America and citizens of Israel and other 48 countries can enter Russia without a visa. If you're a citizen of the United States, your passport alone will not get you into the country. And so your passport's power is also limited. So when we look at our text for today, when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, I guess you could say that he recognized that there was a passport crisis going on within the church. There was division in the church. There were some congregations then, and maybe there are still some congregations like that today, but there were congregations who required of people to have certain ethnic, political, and theological visas before they could enter the church, before they could be fully accepted and welcomed. You see, racial and cultural divisions between the Jews who had come to faith in Christ and the many Gentiles who also came to faith in Christ and who were now flocking to the church had reached a breaking point. Jewish Christians did not recognize the Gentile passport. They said it didn't offer proof of full citizenship in the kingdom of God. They argued that the Gentiles required a visa to enter the Christian church, and that visa was the physical passport stamp of circumcision. Paul says in verse 11, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts." Because you see, since the time of Abram, it was circumcision that made you a true Israelite. And what they believed was that without that mark of circumcision, the Gentiles could only be second-class citizens by comparison. But inspired by God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, Paul intervenes in the situation like a fair-minded customs officer. Remember, he was a Jew, a former Pharisee, and he also was an apostle to the Gentiles. He knew their culture very well, and so he understood the dilemma, but he also knew the solution. And so he says, "Listen, the old passports that you Jews and Gentiles hold separately, they're not valid anymore. Your Jewish passports and your Gentile passports have become invalid. You are now citizens of a new territory, a new kingdom. You know, I have a free passport with a visa that will get you into any community of faith anywhere in the world. If you want to visit the church in Rome, they'll let you in. If you want to go visit the church in Corinth, they'll let you in. If you want to go visit the church in Thessalonica, they'll let you in. As far as your old passport goes, there is no more Jew or Greek. Your connections to a previous life have been replaced by a new common citizenship. And the only qualification for this new nationality is faith in Jesus Christ. And the only visa you need is the mark of Christ's blood. His blood that was shed for you on the cross. And that's why Paul says in verses 12 to 13, in those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Things have changed. You have a new passport with a new identity. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. So He says you have a new passport. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about some of the benefits. Some of the benefits of this new passport. What does this new, incredibly powerful passport represent in your life? What kind of access does it open up to the rest of the world? I think Paul gives us a short list of some of the rights and responsibilities of faithful passport holders. People who hold passports in the sovereign kingdom of God. First, he says, there are no more artificial borders and boundaries. This passport in Jesus Christ transcends official boundaries and borders. Listen to what he says in verse 14. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. It says Jesus broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Because you see, in the temple at Jerusalem, there was a 5-foot high wall between the court of the Gentiles and the court of women. And there was an inscription on this wall that warned the Gentiles not to go any deeper into the temple grounds. If they did, they would have only themselves to thank for their death, which would inevitably follow. And so this wall represents the prejudice that was a burning issue between the Jews and the Gentiles. I mean, you have to understand that there was no love lost between these two groups of people to begin with. The Jews had such contempt for the Gentiles that there were actually many laws against them. For example, if you were a Jew, you were not allowed to offer any aid to a Gentile woman, even if she was in childbirth and desperately needed help. As a Jew, if you even entered a Gentile house, it rendered you ceremonially unclean. If you married a Gentile, you were considered to be dead. They actually had a funeral service for Jewish people who married a Gentile. So that's an indication of the hostility and the prejudice and the discrimination and the walls and the boundaries that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. And so Paul says, that's why Jesus came into the world. He came to tear down such walls of hostility. He says, Jesus takes the place of the temple and he shatters the dividing wall and he enables all people to come together in him. And you know that we are living in a time of renewed hostility and division. There are plenty of dividing walls, both inside and outside the church today, just as there were in Ephesus. We're living in a world in which there are divisions, divisions of race and politics and practices and doctrines. And we need to be careful not to get swept up in the ways of the world. Because as Christians, we need to realize there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Paul says that faith transcends all these artificial boundaries. In Christ, we are one. And as followers of Christ, we need to be bold enough to cross those artificial boundaries, even if it costs us something. If we are in Christ, the only passport and the most powerful one is a passport of that one country of which we are all citizens. Here's a second thought. When we carry a passport of God's kingdom, it brings with it a set of new rules. Paul writes in verse 15, he did this, Jesus, break down the wall of hostility by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. And together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. And Paul is referring to the law of Moses and its practices. A law that separated Jews and Gentiles. It says, this law has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The death and the resurrection of Jesus made peace between God and humanity and between Jews and Gentiles. And so to be a part of God's kingdom, to have citizenship in the sovereignty of God, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about what you eat and what you don't eat. It's not about what you wear or don't wear, or whether the worship style is contemporary or traditional, or whether you're a black or white person, or educated or uneducated, or a Democrat or a Republican, or whether you're an American or a Mexican. The only rule is faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. A faith that reconciles us to God and to one another in this new kingdom of God. Third, when you are a citizen of God's kingdom, you have direct access to the King himself. I mean, when you hold a passport to this spiritual country, you can see the president whenever you need to. It's pretty amazing. Through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you have direct access to God. That is the power that the passport of faith holds. In the old covenant, in the old country, you needed a priest to be your mediator. You needed a priest in the temple to offer sacrifices on your behalf for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, says Paul in verse 18, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. He says Jesus came and preached to both outsiders and insiders. He treated everyone, regardless of race or background, as equals. He made all of us equals. And through Jesus, we have the same Spirit and have equal access to God the Father. And this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us before God in ways that are beyond our understanding. Jesus not only broke down the wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, He also broke down the wall of hostility between us and God. And so now we can come before our holy and almighty God in the name of Jesus who took away our sin. And that's an incredible benefit for us who hold passports in Jesus' name. And finally, this passport in Jesus' name, this heavenly passport, it does not expire. It never expires. A few years ago, the presidents of the United States and China announced a 10-year visa agreement. And many people were overjoyed because most visas are valid for a much shorter period, like maybe 30 or 60 or 90 days. Maybe you can get a work visa for a year. And getting a visa to China can be complicated. For one thing, you need a letter from the host in China. But now, once you're in possession of a visa, it's good for 10 years. And that's huge for people who travel there often or have family members living there. But here's the great thing about belonging to God's kingdom. Our citizenship in the sovereign kingdom of God is a citizenship in a country that has no end. And you are invited to travel to it for an unlimited period of time. And what's more, we're invited to become citizens. It's freely offered. And there's nothing we need to do to qualify except to gratefully receive in faith. And it's an offer that will never be revoked, by the way. This passport will not be confiscated. This passport will never expire. It says in verse 19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family together. We are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. So when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner. You are part of God's family. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. And you have a passport, a heavenly passport that never expires. That is the benefit. That is the power of this passport you receive through faith in Christ. But I don't know, maybe it needs to be renewed. In a world where divisions seem to grow deeper every day, is it maybe time for the church to renew the passport that we've been given in Jesus Christ? Because you see, I believe, as citizens of the kingdom of God, it is our responsibility to break down walls. Not to build walls, but to break down walls. Not to create artificial boundaries, but to destroy boundaries. As God's people, as followers of Christ, our call is to be bold enough to break down walls of racial and ethnic and social and political division in the church. What we need to do is to demonstrate to the world what true citizens of the divine commonwealth look like. We must be willing to share life together with other citizens from or whom governments and pundits might see as aliens and strangers, but whom the people of God see as brothers and sisters. Because in the end, we're all fellow citizens of another world, of a different age. We are God's people. We are holders of a passport freely issued by the blood of Jesus Christ. So never let that passport out of your sight. Always carry it with you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your Son Jesus, who broke down the wall of hostility between us and you, the wall of hostility between different races, different churches. Thank you that we are united through your Son Jesus, in whom we are one. And Father, we confess that we so easily separate, that we so easily divide, that we so easily look at others as them versus us. Help us to understand and realize that as God's people, we belong to one kingdom, in which all are equal, in which all are loved and accepted, not because of who we are, but because of your Son Jesus and what he did for us. Thank you for his sacrifice and the reconciliation he effected. And we pray that as a church and as your people, we will work towards destroying division, breaking down walls, overcoming barriers, so that we can be an example to a world in which there is such division today. We pray for your blessing upon all of us as we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.